This is Will's Band of the Week for July 15th, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, and also Barrett, live in studio again.
Yep, here I am again.
With only half the number of crutches you had last time.
Right, I had two, and now I have one. So your math is right on there.
It's a step in the right direction, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Literally.
Yes.
Now, and you drove, right?
I can definitely drive. It's all healed up, and I can really walk on it.
Yeah.
But as somebody pointed out at work, I'm using my crutch as a crutch, like a figurative crutch. So it's both a literal and a figurative crutch.
Huh.
And so I walked on it all day yesterday, and I thought, this is going to be easy. No problem. And I woke up today, and it looks like an oak tree. The bottom of my foot is just really, really swollen.
You might benefit from the method that I use with my bad tendon in my foot. Get a... for all you people out there with foot injuries, we're going to give you a little advice here. Maybe I told you this before. You get one of those plastic shoe boxes. You can get them like at a drugstore. You know, it's like for storing shoes, but it's plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fill it like halfway up with ice water. Mm-hmm. And you soak your foot in there for like 15 minutes. Really helps.
Really?
At least with what I've got, really helps a lot.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah, you just sit there with your foot in ice water.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So there you go. Foot recommendation of the week. And let's see. I always say this, don't I? I say, let's see. Why don't we do the contact information?
Do you say that?
I think I always do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
we have a lot of little things that we say that we don't realize.
And people are like, he said that again. God, it's getting old. It's terrible. Well, anyway, you can contact us. Send an email to willsband@yahoo.com. Go to the Facebook page, the Will's Band of the Week podcast. The Twitter feed, which is just Will's Band. And is that it?
That must have. Did you mention iTunes?
Well, no, so I should. Subscribe from iTunes. Just,
that's what I was
just
missing there, yeah.
Type in the name and you'll find us there. And we recommend that. Okay, how's that? Did I sum it up now?
That's good.
All right.
You know, I find it interesting that you forgot that last item.
Well, you know why?
The day after you turned older.
Do you think that's why?
Well, actually,
I was thinking, you know, that iTunes isn't really the contact information, but it's the way to get the podcast. So in my mind, I was thinking, how am I going to organize this thought?
Right.
And then I just got completely flustered and thus a very clumsy presentation.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
So it could be the age too, though. So as long as we're on that subject, remember what I told you earlier today?
Yeah, about
last night.
Drink you got.
Yeah, we went out and I had a $28 glass of Scotch whiskey.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I want to try this. And when else would you ever do that? So it was Johnny Walker Blue.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't even order it like with a straight face, you know, because it was kind of embarrassing. I didn't want to be like thought of as a guy that just goes out and spends $28 on a glass of whiskey.
Right.
So I felt like I had to like justify it. So I told the guy, it's my birthday, so I'm going to splurge and I'm going to order this whiskey, you know.
Right.
And then I felt dumb after that because he's just like, well, yeah, here, have your damn glass of scotch, you know. You know what I mean? Like, to the bartender, he didn't care.
Oh.
Whether I had to justify it or not, he's just serving drinks, you know.
Yeah,
and it's probably not the first Johnny Walker Blue that he's served to somebody.
Didn't he say happy birthday?
He might have briefly, but he was kind of busy. It was a big bar, and
right,
a lot of people to attend to.
See, so I think in a situation like that, I'd have said, "Hey, that's cool. Give you a little extra, and there you go. Happy birthday. What's your name?"
Right.
Happy birthday, Will. And then rang a bell. Ding, ding.
Right.
You know?
And he didn't, no. There was no fanfare whatsoever.
Yeah, that's, well, okay. Yeah. Then what about the whiskey itself?
Well, here's the thing. It was very good. It was very smooth. But much to my, well, not much, but a little bit of a disappointment, it wasn't the best scotch that I've ever had. And I kind of thought it would be. It was just good. It was just very good.
Right.
I had this scotch called Lagavulin once, and that's the best one I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more of a, well, we don't have to get into the intricacies of whiskey. We'll start turning off the listeners. So anyway, but my recommendation is if you turn a birthday that ends in a zero, as long as it's not 10, I guess not 20 either, but, you know, splurge a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Give yourself something.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So, and we had a really good time, and it was good. My family was really nice to me. And,
Where did you get that?
At the Old Fashioned.
At the Old Fashioned. Okay.
Yep. That's our default place to go.
Yeah,
to
that's eat. A good spot. Very good family spot.
Yeah, and this was just my wife and I. And the night before, we went out with the kids.
Right.
So I kind of got two birthday nights in a row.
Nice.
So.
But next time, don't just act like you get it all the time, right? Be like, oh, it's Tuesday. I guess I'm going to get a $28 glass of scotch.
It'll just be like
Happy Tuesday.
Totally normal.
Right.
Yeah. Nope. Think I'll rein in the budget a little bit after this one.
Well, happy birthday. I think I speak for myself, Chris, all of the listeners, and wishing you a very happy birthday.
Thank you. And wish me a good next decade.
Yeah, that too. Definitely.
I'll need it. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So, you know what? There's a little bit of music news. And let's go to that.
Yeah.
We still don't have our little theme music for the music news. If we were really professional, there'd be like a 5-second jingle when it was time for music news.
Right. We could do like a Dateline thing.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Right. You know, another thing I could be doing, and by the way, I did start working on that music stuff I mentioned, but it's still a work in progress. But I could do a, I got this old synthesizer. I could make like a crazy synthesizer sound or something. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for music news and have a, I don't know, maybe I'll give that a try.
Yeah, experiment.
All right. So we're going to give that a try. So, according to Paste Magazine, an article in Paste Magazine, album sales have finally gone up, and they had been going down, I guess, for a while.
That's awesome.
It says, over the past few years, the U.S. music industry has managed to limp along as the hits have kept on coming for the severely wounded former Titan. And while it's only a slight improvement, the recently released Nielsen SoundScan results seem to offer a tiny bit of hope for record labels everywhere. The results of SoundScan, which tracks point-of-purchase music sales across both physical and digital sources, indicate that for the first time since 2004, album sales increased in the first half of the year, although only by 1%. According to the service, 155.5 million albums were sold in the U.S. in the first 6 months of 2011, compared to the 153.9 million albums sold at this time last year, which calculates as a 1% jump. Digital album sales are also up 19% through the first 6 months over 2010. So what that means, right, is more people are buying. When they say digital, they must mean downloads, right?
Right.
Not recognizing that CDs are also digital. But
right.
Okay, so but we can, you know.
That's interesting.
We can correct them.
So fewer people are stealing music and more people are buying music.
Well, maybe. Or hopefully, yeah. But also that means that CDs are significantly down, right? Because if you have a 1% overall increase, but you have 19% up in downloads,
right.
CDs are down.
CDs are going to continue to go down.
Yeah, I think so.
LPs, though.
There's a little resurgence. Yeah. Right? But I wonder what percent. That's still got to be like 2% or something.
For LPs?
Yeah, don't you think?
I think they're up pretty high because the baseline number is so low, you know? I mean, LP sales in 2011 compared to 2001, say, are probably up 5,000%. I mean, they went from basically nothing to something now.
A little resurgence. Yeah.
That'd I mean, be any good record store has all the new releases. And
so they are putting them out on vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was in our local record store here, which is just a couple blocks from Will's house, and they actually have the new Cass McCombs on cassette.
On cassette.
So that's like,
wow.
That's the new thing. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what they did that for, just for fun. I'm sure. Wow. I mean, these cassette making factories are probably so desperate for jobs.
That's right.
They'll just, you know, anytime the phone rings, they just, yeah, they're willing to accept whatever the caller is offering.
That's right. As a matter of fact, we do have some time this week to do that pressing.
Yeah, let me check the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could fit you in on, you name it, whatever.
And you got to find an old cassette deck somewhere or have one.
Right.
I don't think I have one anymore.
I drove here in my father-in-law's old car. Mm-hmm. It's got a cassette deck.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well,
I'll have to break out some of my old cassettes. And
yeah, you should. I mean, you're not going to get many more chances.
No.
So, all right. So that's the real music news. Now, here I have some, we'll call these quick hit music news items, okay?
Okay.
Apparently, the bassist for Soundgarden is presently homeless.
Mm-hmm.
The bass player for the band Coheed and Cambria robbed a drugstore to get OxyContin.
Wow.
And a former member of Queens of the Stone Age named Nick Oliveri was arrested for domestic violence after a SWAT team face-off.
Wow.
So these are the hijinks that have been going on in rock and roll in the past week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Domestic violence that involved a SWAT team?
I guess that's what, I didn't read the article. I just thought the headline was good. Yeah. Actually, it was a tweet from some music organization. And we also have some death news. Did you know that? The couple of deaths.
Remind me. Maybe I heard.
The guitarist for Motorhead. We always like to keep up on the Motorhead news.
Yeah.
Wurzel, whose real name was Michael Burston. He played guitar for Motorhead, and he died at age 61.
Wow, that's
which, young. You know, with the Motorhead rock and roll lifestyle, it's about what you'd expect.
Right.
Although Lemmy is several years older than that now. So, I mean, he's lived longer than we thought he would.
Right.
But, you know, just imagine with the guitar player for Motorhead up there in rock and roll heaven. He's probably really annoying some of the other people up there.
Yeah, I bet.
It's like up there now is like a Guitar Center store, right? Because
right.
There's just too much crap going on,
right?
I would think.
Do you think he's like walking over and talking to Nick Drake? Hey, you want to write some music together?
Yeah, maybe they're thinking this would be like a cool collaboration.
That might actually be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would. A lot of opportunities there. And there was another death. Rob Grill, the singer for the Grassroots, just died.
Thanks.
Remember the Grassroots?
I know the name. I don't know any of their music.
Okay, well, you're about to hear some.
Yeah, that's good.
And then that's Temptation Eyes, which at least I don't know if that was their biggest hit, but sort of seems like
familiar.
It to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from 1970. And here's one from 1971 called Sooner or Later. I remember this one from my childhood.
Love you've been denying.
you remember that one?
I do remember that. And listening to the both of those songs, can you imagine if somebody did that today?
It would just be, it would be trashed. I mean, people would say it's just like hokey or something, I think.
Man.
I think there's a 60s melody thing that just people can't accept anymore.
Yeah. I would think the opposite. I would think it's amazing.
It'd be cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked a lot of that 60s melody stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like the Turtles and stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
Which I love. And the Hollies and the Zombies.
Right.
All in that same vein. I think, I remember one time we decided we were going to take on a band as kind of a reclamation project and make them cool.
Right.
Do you know who that was?
No.
It wasn't 38 Special. I don't think we'd have even our awesome podcasting abilities. Probably can't put a hipster shine on 38 Special.
You know, if they can make Pabst Blue Ribbon cool again, they could maybe do it with 38 Special. They would have to have like a bit part in a really popular movie,
right.
Like a funny scene in a really popular movie where the characters run into 38 Special or
right.
something. That they need
yeah,
something
like
that.
Yeah, or like a central part of a movie like Hot Tub Time Machine that takes place in the 80s.
Right.
Would have helped out too.
Right.
But maybe the Grassroots, I'm not sure how we can make them cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cool on their own. They certainly don't need our help, but maybe they need somebody to remind people
yeah.
that they existed and that they're kind of cool.
Right.
I just really like that sound a lot.
Yep. Rob Grill. So I think he was in his 60s, but I don't recall what his exact age
right.
was. All right. And one other sort of a musical release item. Did you see that REM released the 25th anniversary edition of Life's Rich Pageant?
I did, and Pitchfork gave it like an 8.8 today.
Yeah, which, I think it would probably deserve that.
Yeah.
If not higher. You know, given when we did the rankings, I think I had that at number 2. I had that like the highest
yeah.
of the three of us, I think. I really liked that album a lot.
What was your first one? Was it Reckoning? Or
I had Murmur and then
Murmur?
Reckoning.
Yeah, I get, yeah.
And, those are... yeah.
Yeah.
What can you say?
I still think of Life's Rich Pageant as sort of like their new stuff.
It was their fourth album, but I was thinking it was their third, but it was their fourth.
It strikes me as kind of mid-period.
Yeah.
You know, like late IRS period.
Right, right. Well, because we have kind of an imbalanced perception of them.
Right.
You know. Yeah. All right, so, and if you want to hear more and you haven't listened to our REM special, go back and listen to that. It's all the REM you could ever want in an hour and a half or whatever it was, right?
Damn, that was a good one. We
yep.
had fun. One of the listeners kind of took it to us a little bit. I thought it was more REM than he could take. And
yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, you're not going to want to listen to that episode. But
right.
if you like it at all, even if some of the things we said were super controversial, like, if I remember correctly, Chris said the new one was the best ever. And that the first was the worst, and each one got about 10% better than the one before it.
Until they reached just a crescendo. That's
no,
right.
He didn't say that.
No.
But, yeah, that was fun. Maybe we can do the top REM songs of all time.
Yeah, I mean,
so how many albums were there? 15?
There were 15, I think, right?
So 15 times like 12 and a half or 13 is yeah. whatever, 160 or something.
Right, yeah.
Count them down.
Every single song. Rank
like we'll
them.
Do it on the Memorial Day
That's right.
podcast.
We'll
it'll be, yeah, it's something that you can, yeah, put on the, you know, broadcast it on the radio or whatever when you're grilling your brats.
Right. The REM countdown. That would be pretty good. Think how we'd offend people if they had a song they kind of liked and one of us said, this is the worst REM song ever
yeah.
recorded.
What right? would that be? What
Something
would the worst
had to
one be?
Well, it'd be some song we never listened to from
yeah.
Around the Sun, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And then that wouldn't be very controversial, probably.
No.
Yeah.
But if you said the worst one was, you know,
It's the end of the world as we know it.
That would be
like that.
That would be controversial.
Yeah. You know, speaking of bands and being kind of fanboys, you know, this kind of came up today because Wilco is coming to town again.
Yeah.
And who's that band? I was trying to think of this. Who's that band that came to Madison like on New Year's Eve, like a whole bunch of years in a row, and people would always go see them? It's one of those kind of roots country rock kind of bands. It might be from Milwaukee.
Oh, the Bodines?
Right, right. Yeah. The Bodines. Like, they kept coming and they kept selling out. And I was thinking today as I was ordering tickets for yet another Wilco show at the Overture Center, I was thinking, am I like those people who go see the Bodines all the time?
No. No way.
I mean, Wilco is just good. I mean, I was just
still,
thinking, you know.
They're still relevant.
Yeah, and I think they're just, there's no denying it'll be good. So they had the pre-sale. So I signed up for it, and I was sitting at work hitting my refresh button until they went on sale, and then I actually got some decent seats, so we'll
where are they?
See them again. They're like in the, not like on the main level, but like the first level up, so like, what do they call it, orchestra raised or something?
Right.
I forgot what it's called, but it's kind of pretty much in the middle and pretty much well toward the front half of the place.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I think it'll be pretty good. So looking forward to that in October. And when's the Wilco album coming out? Maybe September or something? I don't know. They've got
sometime
a new album
in the fall.
Yeah, there's one coming out. So always fun.
Yep.
So we do have some new music to talk about this week, right?
We do.
And one of us is going to talk about the eccentric singer-songwriter. So I think that's going to be you, Barrett.
Yep, I'm gonna cover Cass McCombs. Did you listen to that at all?
I did.
What did you think? What were your impressions before you get going on it?
I'm kind of in the middle on it.
Yeah,
they're kind of like the general kind of clean and rich sound that it has. There are two or three that kind of caught me. There are, you know, another two or three that I'm kind of just medium on. I'm not sure where I'm going on them. And there's one that I just don't like. That I'm just gonna tell you. This is not good.
All right.
So should we save? Let's save that.
Yeah,
You'll probably pick it as your favorite.
But
and then we'll have a debate on it.
Yeah.
So now I read a little bit about him, and it said that he kind of has just moved all over the place and like lived on buses and stuff, and kind of an interesting character.
Right.
In fact, maybe we ought to just like read a little bit from his Wikipedia entry. Why don't we play something first?
Okay. Well, the briefest impressions are that I think it starts off really, really well. First two songs are, and the last are the best in my view. And the second song and the last have just kind of a Leonard Cohen sound to them that I really like. And you know, I didn't really know too much about him. I got an advance from this friend Steven of his previous album, and I never really listened to it. Just the name Cass McCombs doesn't inspire much in me. You know, it's not, oh, that sounds cool. It just sounds like some middle-of-the-road Jack Johnson-y sort of a guy.
Right.
But he's not. I think he's pretty talented, and his songs are... Just the structure of them is a little bit unique in some cases. So I'm gonna pick song number two to start off with, The Lonely Doll.
Yeah. But imagine to soothe the lonely dawn. For beauty eternal in youth, love's pity, compassion, and ruth, the lonely dawn. Under the dyad moon, the lonely dawn. My soul, though with wine I did douse, the song did arouse the lonely dawn. I followed a drunken lass unto a car.
So yeah, I just really like the simple melody and the whole thing. It's just like 16 bars that repeat for 5.5 minutes with really little variation except in the words. And at one point he drops out and there's a little instrumental, but you know, I think it's a nice structure. I'm going to apologize. Leading into that, I said that I used the word unique with a qualifier. I said it was pretty unique, which is grammatically incorrect. I'm sorry.
Right. How about nearly unique? Nobody ever says that, though.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, pretty unique is just a, you know, it's a language thing.
Right.
I mean, you know that literally it can't be true, but I think the meaning is understood.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you picked my favorite track that was my favorite from the album. I think that's a good one. And before we get to the further discussion, let's cite the Wikipedia article, which highlights basically, isn't this kind of funny? Like the first section is like one line long and it says he was called unobtrusively brilliant by John Peel. So I guess that's his claim to fame.
Yeah.
But then the story is kind of interesting. It says he was born in Concord, California, and he's led a nomadic existence for most of his adult life, moving from one city to the next, living in cars, on couches, and at campsites. McCombs spent time developing his songwriting abilities in New York City until the events of 9/11, coupled with running out of money, sent him back via Greyhound bus to San Francisco, where he recorded his debut EP entitled Not the Way EP. And then it goes on and on. And then it lists a very impressive list of other musicians that he has performed or toured with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's quite a list, isn't it?
That is.
So, you'd think, you know, do you think he's one of these guys that just, you know, he's kind of well known, but he's still kind of, you know, under the radar. So he probably doesn't make all that much money, right?
No, I don't think he does.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
it's just a kind of guy you would think, and that's kind of the thing about the music business, right? A guy like this, you know, can't even make like a good living. I mean, he's probably doing okay, but he's not like,
right, he's not
making much money at
right.
all. Just he's enough not to get by.
He's not
saving
own
for
a home or buy new cars ever in his life,
or have a 401k or something,
right? Or have any health insurance,
right? Yeah, I mean, you would think, yeah. So, yeah, you know, I forgot to mention this earlier because we're talking about the music business now. You know that statistic, the album sales, 155 million in the first 6 months, right? So that means now I guess maybe you're going to have more sales in the holiday season, right? So the second half might be higher. But right. Figure, you know, a little over 300 million albums a year. That's only one album per person in the whole country. That means the average person buys one album a year.
Yeah. Wow.
That's pathetic,
that's
right?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, guys like you and I, you know, we buy like 100.
Right.
And if you buy two a week, that's 100.
Yeah. Know? So we're accounting for 200 people that don't buy anything.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Come on, people.
Get it together, people.
And one of the other things, I maybe people are sick of hearing me say this, but when, you know, talking about the music industry and now its fortunes have declined.
Yeah.
People are like, wow, the music industry, what a bunch of idiots, you know?
Yeah.
How would the restaurant industry be if all of a sudden you could get any food you wanted for free?
If you could just, like, order your food from a Russian website and
right.
not have to pay
yeah.
for it. And
yeah,
then
exactly.
deliver it to your door.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get, right, I'll get the surf and turf, and I'm going to get a $28 glass of scotch for free.
Why would or I pay for like it? A dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a subscription fee.
Right.
You know?
Like, well, right, yeah.
Give me a break.
Right.
Like it's their fault. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
So, I could go on. I usually go on longer than that, but I just like.
That's good. We
people
gotta
are half
some,
as sick of hearing me talk about that as I am hearing myself talk about it, then.
Got to have some
that's
musical
enough.
Rants. Okay,
yeah.
So this is funny though, because you and I agreed on the best or one of the best tracks. There are 8 tracks on this album.
Right,
it's 47 minutes. The last track, 8. That's the one I don't like. I just,
really?
Well, it just goes on and on and on and
yeah,
on.
It's
and I'm
10
like,
minutes.
I'm like, is he trying to do the Edmund Fitzgerald here or what? You know,
right.
I mean, the verse goes over and over and over. And I think maybe if I liked the melody a little better, I'd be okay with it. But wasn't that big on it? And you know, like after 4 minutes, he's still doing it, and after 5 minutes, it's still going. After 6, and I'm in the car, and I'm like, this has to end. You know,
right.
And I'm just like being tortured. So,
right.
But maybe I don't know. Let's see what the listeners think.
Yeah.
Let's play some of it. This
let's play the whole thing.
We'll talk to you in about 10 minutes. This is called A Knock Upon the Door.
See, I like the melody enough that it doesn't even wear thin, even at almost 10 minutes.
You're just more patient than I am.
I'm more patient.
I think, I actually think, you know, listening to it now, I don't really mind the melody, and I think, and I kind of like the sort of rustic sound of it. Right. I think if it just, if that were like 4.5 minutes, then I probably would have been fine with it. But right. as I was listening to it, and it kept going and going and going, and then it has these little catchy things, like that little pause between the measures that he does, and then when he says a knock, and there's a knock, you know?
Right.
But when he does that, like, for the seventh time, it's like, I'm sorry, we charm. Get that by now. We get it. You said knock, and then there was a right. knock sound. So that's yeah. what, you know, I think maybe that's one of my general things. Like, I just think when songs get more than like 6 minutes, you're just like, but you know, the other thing is probably, the other thing I was thinking listening to this was, he's probably telling a story, and I never gave it a chance.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm
it's
sure
like
if
one
you,
of these really long Bob yeah, Dylan songs with a billion
right,
verses.
Right. So then that way, maybe I'm not being fair to it because yeah. I didn't listen to the story. You know, there's a lot of songs and like that.
Right.
Where if a big part of it is the story and you're not listening to the story, maybe you shouldn't be complaining. So.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, why don't we go back to track one? Because that's a good one. Even though we were... No, I think we're back to saying it's okay to play track one now, right?
Yeah. yeah. It's, in fact, preferable.
I mean, the artist must have thought it was pretty decent, right?
Right.
If they put it first, right? So, yeah.
Are there any albums where the first song is the worst song?
God, I doubt it. There are a lot of them where it's not the best, but you know, nobody in there, I mean, the artist is not gonna, they're gonna always think that the first song is at least better than average,
right?
They
would be kind of
yeah
sort of the opposite of a concert pacing. You want to save the good ones.
Yeah, but you got to open with a with a little bang too, right?
Yeah,
but sometimes you open with a
new
more
one.
Subtle thing or something. Yeah,
yeah,
right. Well, that would be a good challenge. Find an album where the first song, even it might be too hard to find one where it's the worst, but I mean, I bet the example you'd find of that is where, you know, it's the attempt at a hit and it's not, it just doesn't fit with what the band is doing.
Right.
So there's probably some albums like that, but you know, just an album where the first song is worse than average and it's not an attempt at being a hit. That would right. be a challenge to find.
Yeah.
So the listeners, were challenging you to find such an album. And I'll be studying my iTunes library for several hours
over
the next few days to try to find one. So here's the first track from the latest Cass McCombs album, Wits End, and it's called County Line.
On my way to you, oh. County line.
Yeah, really nice singing on that one. I think another thing that I like about this, and the reason that, this whole thing connects with me more than it does with you, is all the songs are kind of a slow tempo, which matches perfectly with like my internal metronome, like in my soul. And also everything is kind of a little bit melancholic.
Yeah.
So this just really strikes a chord with me.
I definitely have a general positive impression of it. Didn't want to mislead with my harsh criticism of the last track. But yeah, and it's the kind of thing where you have to give a little bit of time. But that's where it's great, you know, like having recommendations. If you know other people who say, hey, this is good. Because, you know, it's like, you know, Chris sometimes talks about albums where you listen to it the first time and just boom, you know you like it, right?
Right.
And, you know, an album like this, it's nice to have other people who have listened to it for you, and then they kind of can tell you, yeah, you know, it will get good if you right. give it a chance. It's not going to immediately, I guess it could, I mean, if you're just like in that mellow mood. But for me, I've got to like, I have to tell myself, okay, I'm going to put this on and give it a chance. And then it turns out to be pretty good.
Right. I feel sort of that way about Chris a long time ago. Recommended Benji Hughes. Did you ever listen to that?
Yeah, I think
I did. I was driving up north.
Yeah.
And I had my iPod on random. And two things about that. First of all, how does it select what to play? Because it was far from random.
there's a
Joy Division came on like every eight songs.
The iPod knew that you were in a mood to hear that.
I guess. But every time Benji Hughes came on, the song had come on, and I wasn't real familiar with how it sounded. But I was like, what the hell is that? And I'd look, oh, it's Benji Hughes. Next time, what in the hell is
played Benji Hughes again?
Yeah, and then I just listened to it straight through, and I'm like, oh, I kind of get it. It's I don't know.
Yeah.
So I started to get used to it.
That's what my family laughs at me when I put my iPod on at random, because it's not that uncommon for something to come on and I don't know what it is.
Right.
You know, because I've got a lot of like, you know, old Paste magazine samplers and stuff, and
right.
you know, just random stuff. That I mean, I think I, you know, if I put the whole thing on random, there's about an 80% chance. I probably know like 80% of it. I know like who the band is. I don't know right. necessarily song titles, but I'll know who the band is. But you know, there's that significant chunk of just random stuff I've picked up from places. You know, like I said, like samplers and random stuff, and I won't know what it is.
Right.
So sometimes it's fun to get surprised by that.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, should we play another one, or should we leave it at those tracks?
I think those are pretty representative.
Yeah,
in the middle it gets a little soft in some spots.
Some pretty solid songs in the middle.
Yeah.
There's one where there's this weird percussion that sounds like gunshots, kind of. Remember that one?
Yeah, that one
kind of weird, because it's weird because it's like the percussion is louder than everything else.
Right.
And goes,
yeah.
Like, what is he doing there?
That I didn't like. I think that's the seventh song.
That sounds right.
And
yeah,
it's just kind of jarring, like,
right.
All right, that's enough of that.
But then maybe I was thinking maybe that's another one where I didn't listen to the story and there was like right. some point to the harsh percussion.
Yeah.
So okay, well, on to the next artist.
Moving right along,
our next band is called Woo Life.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to listen to this?
I did.
They're kind of different.
Yeah. We should spell that for the listeners. First of all, you got to put the caps lock on.
Right.
When you type this band's name.
It's W-U and then a space and then L-Y-F.
And that's an acronym for...
World Unite Lucifer Youth Foundation.
Yeah.
And they're from Manchester, England. And they're one of these bands that tries to build the hype by doing bizarre things. Like their name apparently being part of it.
Right.
I was reading, I didn't read all the details, but they did something like they charged $50 for their promo. Can you imagine that?
Really?
So then like you create the perception that people want it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's like all this anti-marketing or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. In England, there seems to be a lot of this bizarre stuff.
Right. Manchester. See, I didn't really read anything about them.
But, you know, I've pretty much ignored that. I think they're kind of interesting. I think their combination of instruments and their sound is interesting.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but instrumentally, I like the way the songs sound. I'm not a fan of the vocals
at all. Yeah, the guy is, boy, he's like a gravelly voiced Isaac Brock from Modest Mouse, kind of.
Yeah.
And I guess the way I found it, I'm not necessarily a fan of it, but sometimes when music is just a little on the edge of what I would normally like, there's something that's just intriguing about it.
Right.
So I think it's interesting enough. So
all right, you want to...
Let's play something, huh?
Start us off with your favorite.
Yeah, I don't know what my favorite is. There are about four of them that I kind of liked quite a bit. Why don't we just go a little deep and let's try track 7. The album is called Go Tell Fire to the Mountain, and this is called Dirt.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much in there that I could pick out. I heard him say, right at the end, something about they say. Those were words.
There.
And then there was, he said, heart beating a little earlier. But, I mean, did you look at the lyrics for this? Or I mean,
no, and I was noticing that, too. It's very hard to understand anything he's saying. There's one line, there's one song where there's this line, I think, like, I love you forever. Now you can obviously understand that, but yeah, you can't understand much. So a lot of it is kind of like that, right? It's kind of a church organ,
right,
and a clean reverby guitar, and you know, kind of boomy reverb drums, and then this guy with a guttural growl,
right? Yeah, and like I said, it's still I like the music part of it and the voice. Just I don't know. It's turned me off a little bit.
Is there anything on here you're interested in playing?
Yeah, let's play the third song, Such a Sad Puppy Dog.
Yeah.
You know when that guitar kicked in? You know what it sounded like?
Sounded like explosions in the sky.
You got it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. That's Woo Life.
Woo Life.
Yep. So, yeah, well, the listeners probably have a pretty good idea by now, but let's play one more. I think they deserve one more.
Yeah.
So, I'll go with the middle track, track five, called We Bros. That's short for brothers.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. You know, part of that sounded like to me is a kind of a cross between, they got a little Vampire Weekend-y there.
They did,
like,
yeah.
TV on the radio and Vampire Weekend.
That's right.
If those are your two favorite bands, this would be your favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
It also sounds like this band called Two Gallants. Have you ever heard of them?
I've heard the name, but I don't know if I've heard them.
Sounds a bit like that. A lot of this album does.
You know what this made me think of? Just as I was playing this last track, I thought of this. On the subject of bands with interesting instrumentation and difficult singers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear a band called Wilderness?
I don't think so. No.
They're a band with interesting instrumentation and a difficult singer. I think they're from Baltimore. Let's just play something here. Wilderness.
Yeah.
The guy kind of does that for the whole album, and it, the whole thing's kind of interesting, but then you're like, I don't know if I really like the way this guy sings.
Right.
Yeah, that was Wilderness from 2005, and they have at least one album since then that I didn't get, but I always thought they were kind of interesting, but I wasn't quite sure if I could get past the singer.
Yeah, he sounds a little bit like he's doing John Lydon in P.I.L.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I can see, like, if I were the recording, you know, engineer or something, being back in the booth, you know, they push a little button with the talk to the singer.
Yeah.
Let's do that again, but don't sing it like that this time.
Yeah. Don't sing it like that. That's good. Yeah. All right. There you go. I think it's a good sampling. You know, I look at our time again, and it's like, yeah, we have no problem babbling on about music.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Think we'll come up with something for next week? I think we will.
I think we can, yeah.
Yeah. I've been... it's that time of year where the blockbusters aren't being released, but there's a whole lot of stuff that I've been kind of listening to, sampling, and some of it I'm starting to kind of get into, so I'm sure we'll come up with some good music to... Or maybe we'll come up with something we don't like so we can tell you not to buy something.
Right.
Some obscure thing you never heard of, we'll say, don't buy this.
Right.
Right. Just in case you ever were thinking about it.
Right. And they're like,
don't you think that's funny?
It never would have occurred to me to maybe buy that, but thanks, Will and Barrett.
It's funny sometimes when you read on sites where they review an album that you've never heard of, and they give it this terrible review. And you're like, well, you know.
Why bother?
Yeah. You know, it seems like to give something a bad review, it should at least be that someone else is out there saying it's good, right?
Right.
So you need to be the counter opinion.
Right.
Right.
But,
so we'll try not to do that.
I mean, some of the sites like Pitchfork, we only give you 2 artists a week, right? On average.
And they give
sometimes
like,
it's one, sometimes
they have 5 albums a day.
Yeah. Right. So they have like, you know.
Right.
What does that work out to?
What, 25
a week? They don't publish on the weekends, so
right.
25 times 50. That's ridiculous.
Right. 750?
There are not that many albums that need to be paid attention to.
I got
to
get my math correct here. What's 25?
What did we say? 25 times?
25 times 50.
Well, 25 times 100 would be 2,500.
So it's 1,250.
1,250. They're not nearly...
That's
many
crazy.
Albums that merit attention, even though a lot of, you know, they do some reissues,
yeah.
But still, come on.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll notice that they tend to review, if it's something really obscure, they're reviewing it because they're giving it a good review, right? And they want to be the first one to tell you that this is cool. And the things that they give... below, you know, a 7 or definitely below a 6 are all things that somebody else must have liked, or it's an artist that's already been established so that there's a relevance to why they're reviewing it.
Like today they had the new Gomez on there, which they gave like a 2.2.
Yeah, it was,
you know, it's like
I saw another site that gave that, I think Pop Matters gave that like a 4 also, so like I've never listened to Gomez.
I liked him like in, you know, 2004, 2005, and 2006.
But they're 2006, you know?
Yeah, you guys always tease me about that. But there's a certain, you know...
No, I'm just saying, you know...
zeitgeist that goes along with these years.
They're not at their peak anymore, I guess, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
You can listen to something and approximate what it sounds like. You know, like, that's the sound of 2004... And it sounds kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I think
but
you
people
probably
sort of know what you're trying to say sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was the sound of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Gomez.
Yeah.
And now the Pitchfork editors feel it's safe to pile on them, and in fact, when they come out with a new album, it's necessary to point it out and single it out for ridicule.
Right.
Well, I'm sure it's probably. Not bad.
How could it be that bad?
It can't be.
Yeah.
They've been at this for a long time. That doesn't mean you're going to have a good album. Steel Wheels, for a Rolling Stone fan, was probably terrible. I've never heard it, but I'm just kind of
A lot of those old Led Zeppelin albums get bad reviews when they came out?
Big time.
Yeah.
Critics did not like Led Zeppelin for You know, they changed their mind, but
they were considered like just bad mainstream arena rock.
Yeah,
and people were just like, this is kind of shitty.
Yeah, so yeah, for sure, from like 69 to 73 or whatever, all the critics at Cream and Rolling Stone and you name it just piled on and hated those records.
And then as the years went by, they just got better and better and better mm-hmm. in the critics' estimation.
Right.
Partly just driven by you know, consumer demand, I guess, because it sold so well. But you know, there's just some awesome stuff on those albums.
Yeah.
I mean, Pitchfork, of course, went overboard the other way. They gave some old Led Zeppelin thing a 10. Remember that? Was it a compilation or what was it? There's some Led Zeppelin thing that Pitchfork gave a 10. And I'm like,
yeah,
don't give it a 10. But, you know, some of that, especially as my current band, we've screwed around with a bunch of old Led Zeppelin songs, and you really like you listen to those and they're like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Right.
You know.
But I can't listen to it for a super long time.
Yeah.
After a little while I've had enough.
Yeah, I haven't sat down and listened to a whole Led Zeppelin album through, you know, for maybe ever, you know. But it's like but individual songs you listen to them and you're like, wow,
yeah,
that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I think we should sign off, right? The listeners are saying, God, I really want to make it to the end of this podcast, but I just wish they would stop. I wish they wouldn't make me turn it off. I wish they would just bow out gracefully.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do.
All right.
Okay, so we'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully it'll be decent, but who knows? You just never know in the world of podcasting.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
I'm going to try out our new catchphrase.
Okay.
Happy listening. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Bye.